WWL First News at 6 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Dave Cohen on your official weather station, WWL.
Happy Friday. We've got a heat warning in effect today. 105 to 110 for those feel like for most. Some spots could feel closer to 113, so do be careful. The big headline is the storm chances later today. There's about a 60% chance of you getting a storm later in the afternoon and into the evening. Even once the sun goes down, can't rule out a thunderstorm or two, with gusty winds being the primary concern.
WWL-TV meteorologist Peyton Malone says before those storms get here, it could get dangerously hot, so that's why there's another extreme heat warning. He says the rain ends late tonight, and it's very hot this weekend. His full forecast is coming up. Every day it seems like we hear more and more bad news about the future of the city's budget in New Orleans. But maybe it's not as bad as it sounds, and maybe the difficulties have forced the city to put themselves in a better position.
I think things have greatly improved.
Louisiana legislative auditor Mike Wagasback has been practically embedded in New Orleans City Hall ever since Mayor Helena Moreno took office, helping the new administration find money sources that the previous administration seemed to have forgotten. And Wagasback says there may be a silver lining to the State Bond Commission's apparent opposition to letting the city borrow more money.
I think it's better that they didn't go in front of the Bond Commission, because it's going to require them to really tighten up the belt some more, keep turning over those couch cushions and finding those pots of money to use for cash flow.
Chris Miller, WWL First News.
New Orleans fire crews spent hours last night battling a 3-alarm blaze uptown on Napoleon. Flames tore through a multi-unit building. Firefighters said they rescued two cats, and at last report, we're still looking for a third feline. The Louisiana Department of Education has announced that physical education classes, PE, have been redesigned, and they're going to get students actually moving again.
State Superintendent of Education Dr. Kay Brumley says BSEE has approved new physical education standards. Brumley says the old standards ask students to name a skill. The new standards will ask students to demonstrate the skill.
It's about actually doing the activities.
Brumley says the new standards will go into effect next year, giving the state time to educate PE teachers on how gym classes should look.
Making sure that everyone knows and understands these standards.
I'm Jeff Palermo.
WWL News Time is 6:02. Let's take an early look at WWL Sports, as the Saints have a game tomorrow, preseason albeit, and we're not expected to see the starters, but WWL's Steve Geller tells us that's because they've had some very successful joint workouts this week.
This training camp update sponsored by TrainSouth.com. It's hard to stop a train, but it's easy to afford one. A double header of joint practices for the black and gold were intense. Kellen Moore's squad had high octane sessions against the Cowboys and Rams this week, and coach felt it was worth it for that iron sharpening iron intensity.
I thought it was excellent work for our guys. It's almost, you can view it as kind of like that peak point of training camp, like, you know, to do back-to-back right there. Obviously, we'll come down, we'll play the game, and then next week we'll have a few practices leading into Dallas.
Now the Saints get to catch their breath today before live action hits in preseason game number 2, Saturday, 3 p.m. in SoFi Stadium versus the Rams. Tune into our pregame coverage that'll begin at 11 a.m.
WWL's Charlie Long now following the Tigers.
This LSU update is brought to you by Rouse's Markets. Shop Rouse's, your number one local low price leader and the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints. LSU head coach Lane Kiffin said the Tigers' starting defense has continued its stellar play at fall camp. But what about the offense? During his media session on Thursday, Coach Kiffin also made sure to praise what he's seen from starting quarterback Sam Leavitt.
Our offense has started to improve. Sam has been awesome. Really has been. I don't say that very often, but he made two throws back-to-back today that, you know, I call them adult throws that not many people in the country can make. Really pleased with him, and now we got to make more plays around him.
Look for Leavitt and the Tiger pass catchers to continue growing together. Fall scrimmage number 2 is set for tomorrow, with the regular season opener just over 2 weeks away.
Yeah, 2 weeks from tomorrow, the Tigers open the regular season taking on Clemson.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More strong storms in more parts of the country. Earlier in the week, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio got socked with severe rain. Yesterday, it was the Atlantic coast's turn. ABC's Sophie Flay with a rundown.
On Long Island, a possible tornado damaged cabanas in Atlantic Beach, a massive waterspout seen off the coast. There was also flooding that trapped people in their cars. In Dover, Delaware, another suspected tornado caused extensive damage to hotels and knocked out power. A state of emergency has been declared.
Hundreds in Gary, Indiana are still waiting for lights and air conditioning to come back on more than a week after storms knocked out power.
There are still downed trees and power lines across Gary and northwest Indiana. The utility company doesn't anticipate being able to fully restore power until Tuesday, a full 2 weeks since the storms hit.
ABC's Alex Perez in Gary. A charter aircraft carrying eight people crashing at a remote radar site in western Alaska Thursday. The military says all eight on board died. An American woman is accused of pledging allegiance to ISIS and planning an attack on the New York State Capitol building in Albany, New York. It's an unusual case, says ABC News contributor John Cohen.
Typically, these types of plots are conducted by men. 98% of mass shootings are conducted by male offenders, but there are examples.
The woman, who has not yet entered a plea, is also accused of buying materials for a bomb, including nails, batteries, and electrical tape. Still a lot of questions about the return of Harry and Meghan to the UK. ABC's James Longman is at Buckingham Palace.
One of the big things that Harry has long said is he wants the British government to cover his family's security, wants to have them pay for it. One of the big arguments that the British government has made is, well, we won't do that because you don't live here. So if maybe the calculation is if we live here, they'll pay for it.
After a record 9 months at sea, the USS Abraham Lincoln is headed home and should arrive back in the U.S. in 4 to 5 weeks. You're listening to ABC News.
I'm Nicole Murray with WWL First Business News. Walmart said it is using the $2.9 billion in tariff refunds to lower prices as consumers experience affordability issues due to higher inflation. The retailer also reported that its operating income in the second quarter rose nearly 30% compared to the same time last year. The average long-term U.S. mortgage rate eased for the second week in a row, but remains elevated compared with this time last year. Freddie Mac reports that the benchmark 30-year fixed rate mortgage fell to 6.65% from 6.67% last week. 1 year ago, the average rate was 6.58%. The number of Americans filing claims for unemployment benefits slipped last week, suggesting that the labor market remains stable despite a surprise drop in employment in July. The Labor Department reports that the initial claims for state unemployment benefits fell 6,000 to a seasonally adjusted 206,000 total for the week that ended on August 15th. Futures are higher. That's WWL First Business News. I'm Nicole Murray.
Now, the Surf Pro Cleanup Restoration and Construction Forecast on WWL.
Happy Friday. It is going to be a really hot weekend. We've got temperatures in the mid to upper 90s, and the chance of rain is highest today. It's actually 60% this afternoon and this evening, and we can't rule out a strong storm later on in the evening hours. Today's high is 96, but Saturday and Sunday hotter. 97 Saturday, 98 Sunday. Your heat index 105 to 110 most days, and a few spots could be a little hotter. And the chance of rain this weekend's only 20%. From WWL Louisiana, I'm meteorologist Pete Malone.
West wind at 5 miles an hour, mostly clear and 80 at the airport in Kenner, 78 right now in Slidell. Let's check on WWL traffic.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, now clear in both directions after an earlier accident on the eastbound side. I-10 East, Kenner to downtown New Orleans, about an 11-minute commute. I-10 West, New Orleans East to downtown, no problems there. Downtown Elevated and the flyover are running at speed. Crescent City Connection wide open in both directions. Huey P. Long in the Causeway, no delays there. I-55 North and Southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P. on WWL.
Thank you, Courtney. Thank you, Courtney, and thank you, Granger. I'm Dave Cohen. Now it's Tommy Tucker on WWL.
Thank everybody. Let's just get it out the way. Thank everybody.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank Mario there. I called him Marco before. I don't know why his name is Mario. I'm a goofball. Who knows what's going on?
Marco, oh, Rubio, Mario.
But yeah, here's what I want to talk about. What I came to mind. Your story about Cade Brumley and PE and all of that.
Yeah, isn't that wild? That kids are not currently being required to actually be physical in physical education?
Did you like PE or did you hate it?
I loved it.
What did you love most about it?
I liked the competition. I liked playing different sports. I mean, I really enjoyed it. But it was far more structured when I was in PE than when my kids were. Two of my kids loved it. Two of them hated it. Where did you fall on?
Can we bring Courtney into this or not? Courtney, did you love PE or hate it?
I loved and hated it.
Be honest. What did you hate about it?
I hated the things that I wasn't good at, and okay. I loved the things that I was.
All right. So it was a competition thing to you.
It was.
Like, what were
she
you
loved
not
winning, not losing.
What were you not good at?
I was not good at basketball, which I thought I would be.
And what were you good at?
Volleyball.
Okay. Well,
dodgeball.
Very athletic, yeah.
Yeah.
We used to have a thing, you know, I was the kicker on the football team and the eighth string guard. And we had a problem where the football players would go aside and do, quote, football things, right? So we had this guy, Keith St. Pierre, that was like, you know, 5'10", 330 pounds, a big muscular guy. And they had a harness that they would put on each of us where we would fire out against each other, right?
Yeah, and you were
a dust mop. I was a dust mop. I was 153 pounds, and he would dust mop the floor with me. And I'm thinking, you know, if you just give me a dust mop, I'll gladly do this rather than be dragged across the floor like a dust mop. But seriously, 504.
So you hated PE.
No, I liked it. I loved it. I just
you love being the dust mop. Okay.
Well, I mean, other than that part, it was okay. 504-260-1870. Text us and let us know. Did you love PE or did you hate it? And what did you love about it? What did you hate about it? And tell me the same about your kids, if you can, or grandkids. We'll talk to Jeff Palermo about WWL.com. Thankfully, Sam Levitt loved PE, you would think.
Probably.
Doing some football player things.
Probably very good at it,
yeah. Not getting dragged across the floor?
No, I think he was probably leading the dragging.
And Keith, no offense. I know you listen. It was no disrespect to you at all. You were just doing your job, but it was, you know, like, here we go.
But you had to call him out by name anyway.
Blow that whistle. Here we go. Yanked back like I'm being drawn and quartered or something like that. Drawn and quartered. We'll be back, WWL. We gonna celebrate and have a good time. 6:15 now on this Friday morning, August 21st. A better than usual chance for showers this afternoon. And yesterday it was just so miserably hot. Honestly, around 4 o'clock, Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Good morning. How you doing?
I am doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
Good. I was driving around yesterday, and it was so hot in the afternoon. I got to believe it was the heat that was just keeping people indoors. It seemed almost COVID-esque. That's how deserted the highways were. But a better-than-average chance for showers today, 60%, maybe some strong winds and lightning and all that stuff. So maybe we'll get a little break from it. Well, how the Tigers been faring with the heat in Baton Rouge in practice? They've been going inside, outside, what?
They've been practicing mostly outdoors, you know, and the fact that it's been so dry, they really haven't used much of the indoor practice facility. There's sometimes that they might, you know, a lot of Lane Kiffin's practices, they actually start out scrimmaging before they get into individual drills. And I think there's been one or two times during say that again?
Yeah. What did you say? They scrimmage before
they have like a 6-play scrimmage.
Really?
Before they get out there and do a lot of their individual drills. And then I would imagine they get back after the media is kicked out of there, they get obviously back to their team drills. So,
is that for the benefit of the media that they do that little scrimmage?
No, I think it's to get the juices flowing, probably, okay. I would think. You know,
I've never heard of that before, but it's interesting.
Yeah, no, they'll play and they'll turn up the speakers. They'll be loud. You'll hear a lot of screaming, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, they I think it's to kind of get the guys fired up a little bit.
Interesting.
So, yeah, but they haven't really practiced much indoors. They've been baking in this heat like the rest of us.
Well, they better because they got Clemson coming up. That's hard to believe. 2 weeks from tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, 2 weeks from tomorrow. And, you know, we heard from Lane Kiffin yesterday and still says the defense is ahead of the offense. But, man, he gave some glowing remarks about Sam Levitt. Called him, said he's been awesome. Said he made a couple of adult throws, meaning he made some throws yesterday in practice that only a few people can do. And you know, he was honest. He said that during the spring when Sam was restricted and limited because he was coming off the season-ending foot surgery, that he didn't really see much. He was like, well, where's the guy that I saw on tape? And now he's starting to see it. So I think there's a strong belief here, Tommy, that this team might go as far as Sam Levitt could take it, especially on the offensive side of the football. And while it might take a while for this team to develop maybe an alpha dog at running back or at wide receiver to complement Tre'Davious Green, I think it's great to hear that your quarterback, the guy that makes everything go, is performing very well. And I don't get the sense that Lane is someone that really – throws out the word awesome too many times. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a guy that's got some high standards, and he talked about it in the spring when the offense was really struggling. I think he used the word disturbing. So now that his vocabulary has changed and he's using the word awesome. I think that's a good sign for the offense. But still a lot of room to grow, because I think Sam is still trying to get that chemistry down with his wide receivers, and you got to see if you can develop a running game to complement him. So still a long way to go here, but I think that's really encouraging to hear him use the words that he used yesterday to describe what he's seeing from Sam Levitt.
You know what I find interesting about that is I don't get or consider Lane Kiffin to be a guy that doesn't say everything that he says for a reason. He doesn't seem to be a real off-the-cuff kind of guy. It seems like there's a reason for using the words that he uses. Do you agree with that or not?
No, I agree with that. You know, one of his mentors is Nick Saban, and Nick Saban was famous for talking to his players through the press.
Mm-hmm.
Because, let's face it, these players are going to want to hear what their coach is saying about them. And so when he says things like, you know, Sam being awesome, or, you know, there were a couple other players that he really highlighted yesterday. Stacy Gage, who's a backup running back from Central Florida, who seems like he may have surpassed Caden Durham on the depth chart. I mean, Harlan Berry and Dylan Jones are your top two guys, but Stacy Gage has been a guy that's shown some nice flashes here. Looks like that he's gotten better. And then Dominic McKinley, the five-star defensive tackle from Acadiana High School. You know, again, Lane was pretty honest. Said he wasn't very good in the spring, considering how big and how athletic he is. He thought he could be more of a dominant player, and he's starting to see it, which is good, because all the talk during this camp has been about these two freshman defensive tackles and Deuce Geralds and Richard Anderson, and we've talked about it before, Tommy. They need some veteran guys to step in. You need a good rotation there at defensive tackle, so maybe that's starting to develop as well, along with Steph Green and Malik Blockton, the transfer from Auburn.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. I want to go back to Sam Levitt, because there are people, you know, Jeff, casual LSU fans that are going to say, hey, wait, what happened to Garrett Nussmeier, even though he didn't play last season? But you know what I'm saying. There are people.
Right, yeah.
So when we come back, we'll just take a little review of Sam Levitt and take a look back and see where he came from and what we can expect from him, et cetera. 621, traffic now, WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, no issues or delays to report in either direction. I-10 East, Kenner to downtown New Orleans, about a 12-minute commute. I-10 West, New Orleans East to downtown, you'll tap the brakes just before the high rise, traffic easing quickly after that. Downtown Elevated and the flyover are running at speed. Crescent City Connection wide open in both directions. Huey P. Long on the Causeway, no delays there. I-55 North and Southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by Entergy. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P on WWL.
All right, I know it's Friday morning, 6:22. It's early, but still, I want to talk to you about your ducts. That's exactly right. Not those, the ones that are in the ceiling or maybe in the wall that provide the cool air in your home. Hopefully it's cool these days. Your air ducts, your whole AC system should be cleaned every 3 to 5 years. But have you ever cleaned yours? My house was built in 1993. They had not been touched until Marcus and Gulf State Services LLC came out late last year and cleaned them. But before they did, they took some pictures to show me what was in there. We're talking about the part of the air conditioner now. Imagine, if you will, a line, right? It's running linear. So you got the hole in the wall where you put the filter, the 15 by 20 by 1, whatever it is. Then they got the ducts, and then they got the vents where the air comes out. Well, in between all of that, they got this thing called the plenum. In the air conditioner, it can collect all types of things that you don't want the air that you're breathing to have passed over. And that's what happened with me, and it might be what's happening with you if your plenum's not been cleaned or the ducts haven't been cleaned. I'm talking about layers of dust, dead bugs, mold, pieces, parts of insects, droppings, who knows what. And I had been breathing that every single day. And while I thought I was having allergy problems from stuff outside of the house, it was like a horror movie. I traced the allergens and they were coming from inside of the house. So rather than get out of the house, I decided to let Marcus from Gulf State Services LLC clean those ducts. And it made all the difference in the world. It made my house feel like new. It made it smell like new. and it really did improve my quality of life. So call him today at 504-944-3003, 504-944-3003, or go to GulfStateServicesLLC.com. The estimate's absolutely free. He's going to take some pictures, show you what's in there. The choice is up to you, but I guarantee if your ducts look anything like mine did, you're going to want to get it cleaned right away, and he got me done in one day. Go to Gulf State Services, G-U-L-F, StateServicesLLC.com. 627, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Jeff, give me a Sam Levitt 101, if you will, for people that are casual fans and they're getting ready for Clemson 2 weeks from tomorrow, and they're saying, wait, Sam Levitt, who's the quarterback? What's going on?
Sam Levitt's from Oregon. He started his college career at Michigan State. Then he went to Arizona State, and in 2024, led the Sun Devils, who, if you're familiar at all with college football, there's Arizona State is not a school that's had a ton of success, but he led Arizona State to the college football playoffs. He was the Big 12 Freshman of the Year that year and had a really nice season. And then last year, midway through, or actually really in September, he ended up injuring his foot, played through it for a little bit before eventually getting the Liz Frank foot surgery, which is Matt Mock had that injury back in the day for the LSU Tigers prior to when they won the 2003 national championship. Taysom Hill had that same injury as well. So that is an injury that you can certainly recover from, but it's a lengthy recovery. So when LSU was recruiting him in January, when he was in the transfer portal, they knew that he wasn't really going to be ready to go in spring, that he would just be able to kind of casually throw the football around, but would not be able to participate in any team drills. So, but they still went after him. They had confidence that he'd be able to bounce back from this injury. Lane Kiffin likes mobile quarterbacks. I mean, look at the last two guys that he's had, Trinidad Chambliss, Jackson Dart. Both of these guys can move. Both of these guys can throw. That's what Sam Levitt can do. We've had the opportunity to speak with him one time so far. Seems like a really good kid, someone that's very appreciative of the opportunity to play at LSU. I think this is a guy that's really enjoying the opportunity of playing some big-time college football. And now we'll see. We'll see how well he performs on Saturdays this year.
It's going to be hot 2 weeks from tomorrow night. This is going to be miserably, unless something changes, and I don't see it. I didn't hear anything in the weather about anything changing. How's that going to affect the game as it plays out, Jeff?
Well, it's, you know, obviously it helps that it's going to be a night game, but and that place on Saturday night 2 weeks from tonight is going to be packed to the gills. I mean, it's going to be over 100,000 people. I would hope, you just kind of hope that maybe the humidity level gets knocked down a couple notches before that game to where we're experiencing right now. But it's not easy. And, you know, I've sat in Tiger Stadium several times myself. And, you know, sometimes it's uncomfortable, man, yeah, when it's hot. And it's, you know, you're not sitting in a lazy boy lounger out there. But I would imagine fans are going to be on their feet. This is one of the most anticipated college football games in Tiger Stadium in a long time, really.
Anticipated seasons too, huh?
Yes, yes. So I think LSU fans are ready to get a little sweaty. They're ready to scream. They're ready to jump up and down, and they want to see some offense, and they want to see LSU win by double digits. And right now, that's how much they're favored by. They're favored to win by 11 or 12 points. So
Get sweaty and scream. That was Jeff's first big hit, as a matter of fact. You can find it on YouTube. Thank you, Jeff Palermo. Appreciate it. 6:31, minute late time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
Ready to get sweaty. WWL News Time 6:31. Here's the latest from your official weather station, WWL.
Happy Friday. We've got some rain in the forecast today. The chance is 60%. That'll be for the late afternoon and evening hours. So even after sunset, might have a few storms around the region. The high temperature otherwise is hot, 96, feeling like 105 to 110.
WWL-TV meteorologist Peyton Malone says we have an extreme heat warning for today before those isolated storms that could be severe. New Orleans' fiscal picture might not be as bad as previously thought. Louisiana Legislative Auditor Mike Wagespack has been working very closely with New Orleans City Hall ever since Mayor Helena Moreno was elected. And he says the city will have some tough decisions to make, but they can make them.
I think the Moreno administration has made great strides, but I think they still have to continue to look at additional cuts.
He says he thinks the mayor's office can weather the storm and come out on the other side before the next round of elections. Interestingly, Wagus Pack says the fact that the city and state have been fighting and the city could not go to the bond commission for additional loans or other funding measures actually forced New Orleans leaders to make tough decisions that have put them in a better place. A woman charged in the death of two teenagers finds out her fate today. WWL-TV's Whitney Miller tells us what started with a shoplifting in Metairie led to a police chase on the I-10 and then the deadly crash crossing parish lines.
Jonika Smooth, she pleaded guilty in the deaths of 17-year-old Giselle Smith and Samaj Moores back in May. Investigators say she crashed into the teenager's vehicle while exiting at St. Bernard Avenue. She'd been fleeing Jefferson Parish Sheriff's deputies after an alleged shoplifting incident at Lakeside Shopping Center. She faces up to life in prison.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The same line of storms that caused severe damage in the Midwest moving further east on Thursday. ABC's Morgan Norwood.
A rain-wrapped tornado tearing through the city of Dover, Delaware, sending debris flying and leaving behind a trail of destruction.
I can't believe this.
Some residents caught off guard, racing to take shelter. Two hotels left badly damaged, pieces of the building wrapped around power lines.
On Long Island, New York, a waterspout may have come on shore. If so, that'd be a tornado. Firefighters digging through torn apart structures at a beach club, making sure there was no one inside. President Trump heads to South Carolina today to stump for Darlene Graham, days ahead of the South Carolina Republican Senate runoff. A charter aircraft carrying eight people crashing in a remote radar site in western Alaska, killing all on board. President Trump back on the air with his one-time fixer, Michael Cohen, who testified before Congress about Trump's hush money payments. He also did prison time for tax evasion. They were on Cohen's radio show. This is ABC News.
The Louisiana Board of Elementary and Secondary Education has approved new rules for physical education. State Superintendent of Education Cade Brumley says starting next year, kids will actually have to participate in physical exercise instead of just learning the theory behind it.
In the old expectations for PE, students might just learn about something. They might learn what it looks like to climb or what does it mean to throw or to squat or to jump. With the new standards, there's the expectation that they actually have to do it.
Brumley says the skills will build on one another, starting in kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. A new Gallup poll finds that a historically low number of Americans consume alcohol. ABC's Jim Ryan.
That's not to say that Americans aren't finding other ways to drown their sorrows or celebrate their successes. Apart from the Gallup survey, the National Institute on Drug Abuse reports that about a quarter of men and one in five women use cannabis on a regular basis. And about 30% of them report signs of cannabis use disorder, including finding it difficult or impossible to stop.
Record low alcohol consumption, record high pot smoking. Time for WWL Sports, brought to you by People's Health. Here's WWL Steve Geller.
This training camp update, sponsored by TrainSouth.com. It's hard to stop a train, but it's easy to afford one. The Saints got a heavy workout out west with joint workouts against the Cowboys and the Rams. Head coach Kellen Moore says stepping out of their comfort zone is all part of the blueprint to success.
That was some tough days, you know, to go a Tuesday joint to a Thursday joint. That's a lot of workload in a matter of those 3 days. We're proud of our guys battling. I think it's going to test our ability to kind of play in an uncomfortable setting, which is good for us, and you know, we'll use the rest of training camp to get ready.
Up next, the Black and Gold will test that grit when they take on the Rams in a preseason game on Saturday. Our pregame coverage will start 11 a.m. kickoff at 3 on WWL Saints Radio.
Once again, don't expect to see any Saints starters on the field tomorrow as they got all their workouts in those joint practices. We'll see all of the top Tigers competing 2 weeks from tomorrow in Tiger Stadium, and before that, they've got a weekend scrimmage. Here's WWL's Charlie Long.
This LSU update is brought to you by Rouse's Markets. Shop Rouse's, your number one local low price leader and the official supermarket of the New Orleans Saints. On Thursday, we got to hear from Tiger head coach Lane Kiffin about the Bayou Bengals fall camp workouts. With scrimmage number two scheduled for tomorrow, Coach Kiffin noted that he's still been impressed with LSU's defense. Kiffin highlighted a star player on the edge.
Princewell's really been a dominant force, especially in the ability to catch the quarterback, which I think is very important nowadays, not just being good rushers, but these quarterbacks, I feel like more people
people have turned to athletic quarterbacks in college football. Big part of third downs is when you get there, can you get them down? So he made a number of plays today like that. So I feel like our defense is playing really well. We still have a lot of work to do in depth. We still have work to do in defensive tackle spot, figuring that out.
As for the offense, Coach Kiffin praised quarterback Sam Levitt, saying the signal caller has been quote-unquote awesome.
Now, the Surf Pro Cleanup Restoration and Construction Forecast on WWL.
Happy Friday. It's going to be a hot weekend, and today is your best shot of seeing some showers and thunderstorms. If you do have plans later this afternoon, there's around a 30 to 40%, but this evening there's a 60% chance for thunderstorms. And some of these storms today could be severe, with gusty winds being the primary concern, but you also want to watch out for dangerous lightning and some heavy rainfall. Temperatures do go up this weekend, 97 Saturday, 98 on Sunday, and only a 20% chance of rain this weekend. Next week, we'll go to about a 30 to 40% chance for rain. From WWL Louisiana, I'm meteorologist Pete Malone.
Some clouds overhead here in downtown New Orleans, but no rain anywhere on radar in southeast Louisiana. It's mostly clear in 80 at the airport in Kenner, clear in 78 in Slidell. WWL News Time, 6:37. Time to check WWL traffic.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, no issues or delays to report there. I-10 East, Kenner to downtown New Orleans, about an 11-minute commute. I-10 West, New Orleans East to downtown, you'll tap the brakes between the Morrison Curve and the high rise. Downtown elevated clear to the flyover. Flyover lightly congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection wide open in both directions. Huey P. Long on the Causeway, no delays there. I-55 North and Southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. However, as you leave Slidell, headed out to New Orleans East just before you start to cross the lake, have heavy delay there with an accident on the road. Traffic is sponsored by Genesis of New Orleans. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P. on WWL.
Thank you, Courtney. Now back to Tommy Tucker on WWL.
We're taking it to the text on this Friday morning, 6:39, 21 till 7, asking about PE. Since you had that story in the news, did you love it or did you hate it? And what did you love about it? What did you hate about it? And some of the texts that are coming in: loved all the games, hated having to share space with those who wouldn't stop complaining about having to play games. All right. Loved playing sports with friends outside the classroom at PE. Didn't like sit-ups nor stretching, but now I wish I did. Fat with lower back issues, LOL. Hated PE. Didn't like walking around naked with classmates. Do they still do that or not?
I don't know. You still got to change into your PE uniform, right? In the locker room, don't you?
Man, let me tell you something. I remember going to the Berman Gym in Algiers for the weigh-in and a physical. That's like the Nord program. I can still remember it. I was in like seventh grade at the time.
Yeah, you go down to your tidy whities.
No, they had people walking around just
naked.
I've never seen so much nudity in one place, and I think it may have negatively impacted me. I'm not kidding you. This was scarring indeed.
Scarring.
They should have boxing in PE, says this text.
What?
Great exercise. Teach kids to defend themselves and work out beefs without pulling a gun. I think that'd be a good idea. You don't think?
Nah, I wouldn't want my kids.
It wouldn't be mandatory, but you put the headgear on them and a mouthpiece and everything?
With parental consent.
But you can put all the gear on. You got the headgear and all of that. You're not
still getting punched in the face.
It's better than getting punched in the face outside the classroom.
No, I understand, and maybe in certain settings with parental consent, it makes sense. But I don't think I would approve my kids getting in the boxing ring in PE with other kids. I wouldn't know if they'd be matching weight classes and strength.
Well, let's see what people think at 504-260-1870. I can tell you this, and I can remember this moment vividly. You know how you guys sometimes get in a beef and a push with two hands at the shoulders of the other guy?
Yeah,
you push
old shove. Yeah.
When you do that and say, blank you, get ready because you're going to get punched in the eye.
Yeah, because both your hands are now up and out to the side, and you're wide open.
Well, I don't know about any of that. I just didn't realize it, and I learned quickly that you're going to get punched in the eye when you do that. And I didn't do it again. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the national debt here on WWL. 6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Walter Dub Lane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at LSU New Orleans, my alma mater. How you doing, Dub?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
Y'all getting ready for the fall semester there?
It started on Monday.
Oh,
so
did it? Okay.
Well underway.
How's enrollment?
Not quite what we would hope for, but it's better.
Okay, that's better. Let's talk about the national debt. $40 trillion, the Secretary of the Treasury saying that's not a magic number, the Vice President saying that the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, has a very discreet plan to shrink the nation's debt. So I don't know if it's a secret plan or what it is, but how troubling is $40 trillion in debt?
Well, the number itself is just a kitchen grabber. The key issue is how much is the debt and how much is it growing? Mm-hmm. 40 trillion, I'm pretty good with numbers, but $40 trillion is a number I just can't even conceive of. So what economists like to do is to try to put it more in perspective. We like to measure debt by the percent of the of our gross domestic product, GDP. Mm-hmm. In other words, that's all the dollar value of everything we produce in the country in a given year. And if that number is a big percentage, it's kind of like thinking, you know, let's suppose you have $100,000 income. If you've got $10,000 in debt, you can handle that pretty good. If you've got $200,000 in debt, that's going to be a little harder. Mm-hmm. Now, it also, the second question, the later we're talking, is what is the debt used for? But still, the GDP, I used to teach a group of Austrian students that came about American economic problems. And 20 years ago, I was teaching them about our debt and what to worry about. And I said, oh, at the time, our debt is not a real big problem because the numbers were big numbers. But the point is 80% of that debt owed by Americans is owed to Americans. Mm-hmm. That is, we own the debt. Different people own the debt. So, you know, we're borrowing money from ourselves. So that's not quite so scary. The other 20% is owned by foreign countries, mostly China. That's a little more worrisome.
That was then.
Right. That's the principle.
Yeah.
But at that time, the debt was like 50% of GDP.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, if it gets much higher, then we should start worrying. Well, $40 trillion right now is over 120%
wow.
of our GDP. Let me give you a little perspective. About 10 years ago in the European Union, one of the countries, Greece, was having a real problem with debt.
Mm.
Okay. And the rest of the EU imposed very harsh sanctions to try to get Greece to clean up their act. At that time, Greece had a debt of 80% of its GDP. Okay. And at that time, everybody thought that was completely unacceptable. Well, now, what do you do when it's 120%? You know, it's just crazy. You know, there's lots of analogies that you can think of. One is that if we, every one of us, were to sell our house today, give the money to the government to pay off the debt, it wouldn't be enough.
Mm.
That's how much $40 trillion is. So, you know, the numbers are scary, but the question is, what effects will this have on the economy and on the government and on us?
Those are rhetorical questions, but I'd like answers. What effects
going to
have?
Well, we're seeing it already. You know, look what's happening to bond yields. In other words, interest rates. They're going up because just like if you're borrowing money from a bank and you've got a really high credit rating, sometimes you can get, you know, pretty low interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
But if you owe a lot of money and you have very, very scary finances, one of the things that makes you, well, I'll loan to you, but I'm going to charge you a much higher interest rate. Well, that's what happens when the country as a whole is in a tenuous financial position. The rest of the people are only going to loan us money at a higher interest rate. Well, now we pay that interest to ourselves, but the key problem is right now it's already started. The interest payments by the federal government on the debt are higher than what we pay for defense.
Mm.
In another 10 years or so, those numbers going to be getting higher and higher and higher. And so the government's not going to be able to afford all these other things like paying Social Security and Medicare and building roads. They'll have to spend all of it on the debt. That's kind of the real scary position. We're moving in that direction.
So let's go back to our example. You're making $100,000 a year. Now you have $240,000 in debt, and you got to service that debt. You got to pay the interest on it, right? So in our hypothetical example, what kind of interest would we be paying out of that $100,000 that we're making a year on the $240,000 of debt?
Well, again, that interest rate depends upon the rest of the markets. But I say it, part of it is that if you're a high-risk person, they charge you a higher interest rate.
But just round numbers,
Let me give you the second part of that.
Okay.
Is most of us who have a $100,000 income do have a $200,000 debt in our house. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't sound quite so scary. The question is, what are you using the money for? If you're borrowing money to buy an asset, in other words, to buy a house, yes, the bank owns it now, but it's ultimately, when I pay it off, it's my house. I own an asset that I've been investing in by borrowing. Mm-hmm. Same thing would be true with a car or any other asset. If you were borrowing $200,000 to spend on vacations or, you know, things that don't matter, then when it's, you know, you don't ever have an asset at the end to pay it back.
All right, let me stop right there. And when we come back, we'll talk about what the government is doing. Are we spending it on a house or are we spending it on vacation? We'll keep the analogy going with Walter Dubb Lane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at my alma mater, I'm proud to say, LSU New Orleans. 651 traffic now, WWL.
From Acadian Windows and Hurricane Shutters, WWL Traffic Center, I'm Courtney P. Over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, no issues or delays to report there. I-10 East Kenner to downtown New Orleans. Light congestion starts in the airport area, hangs on to Veterans, clears to downtown from there. I-10 West Orleans East to downtown, you'll tap the brakes between the Morrison Curve and the high rise. Downtown elevated steady to the flyover. Flyover moderately congested to Business 90. Crescent City Connection, West Bank to downtown. Light congestion begins at General de Gaulle. UAP along the causeway, no delays there. I-55 north and southbound free and clear. No delays on I-12. I-59 is delay free. Traffic is sponsored by Louisiana Lottery. And there's your look at traffic with Courtney P. on WWL.
I was over at KronosBHW.com yesterday getting a shot of hormone replacement therapy, also weight loss shots. And they have helped me a lot. And guys, if you don't know what hormone replacement therapy is, you begin to lose free testosterone in your body when you turn 30. It's just a force of nature. It happens. And that can result in maybe you gain some weight, you're tired, you lose muscle mass, and you're not as sharp mentally as you used to be. It just happens. It's the aging process. Now, you can't stop the aging process, but you can change the way you age with hormone replacement therapy at Kronos BHW. Now, it's got to be medically sound. That's where Dr. Mae Scott comes in with a blood test and making sure that you don't have too much free testosterone, because that can cause a whole bunch of problems. You don't want that to happen. But why not get back to where you were? The guy that was full of energy, that had the drive to tackle your day, go to the gym and really crush the workouts. And the thing that I've noticed that I love about the hormone replacement therapy is before I started, if I was working out and I would lose a week or two, I'd be back to ground zero and we'd have to start all over. But now with this, I don't lose what I had built up before. It makes a big difference in the way you feel, the way you live your life. So I would say if you're over 30 and you've not been checked and you have any of those symptoms of fatigue or weight gain, loss of muscle mass, decreased cognitive function, go to KronosBHW.com. Let Dr. Mae Scott show you what they can do for you. They help me with weight loss drugs as well. They're on North Arnold near Drago's. So it's very convenient, very non-judgmental, very great atmosphere. Kronos, KronosBHW.com. Make your appointment today. 6:55, 5 till 7. Quickly back to Walter Dubb Lane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at LSU New Orleans. We're talking about the national debt reaching $40 trillion and its percentage to GDP. And Dubb, we were talking about an analogy before of, okay, you got all $100,000 income, you got $200,000 plus in debt. And are you paying it is that debt in the form of your house that you're paying off, or is it like vacations or something frivolous that you're getting and spending the money on, and then you don't have anything to show for it? It's not a capital acquisition, right? So what is to carry that analogy forward, what is the government doing with the money and that we're spending here?
Well, they do a little bit of capital expenditure. In other words, when they build highways, things of that sort, or in our case, usually it's rebuilding highways. They're investing in infrastructure and assets. That's not what most of the government debt goes for. Most of the government debt goes for things like Social Security and Medicare and the SNAP benefits and all of the regulatory agencies, the FDA and the EPA and all those people that govern things. And in other words, it's almost all that at the end of the year, when you spent that amount of money, the next year you got to spend it all over again. Mm-hmm. There's no asset that's being created by that spending. So that's the nature of government spending, which is why many economists push for much closer to what we ought to say a balanced budget. Well, nobody's been saying that anymore. It used to be the Republicans said that, but they only say that when the Democrats are in power. Now, the Republicans, that's why the other things that it makes sense for the federal government to pay debt for is like in a war. World War II, our debt went up skyrocketed because we were building all those bombs and the ships and everything. But then after the war, it came back down again. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we have a war now. That's not a huge part of our debt. Our problem is that we don't have enough taxes to meet our expenditures. And you mentioned the secretary has a plan. There's only two possibilities to start lowering the debt, which, and again, the only person who's ever lowered the – well, we haven't lowered the debt in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. Under the Clinton administration, they stopped borrowing for a little bit. They had a balanced budget, but – that's the best we can hope for, is to move into that direction. And the only way to do that is either raise taxes or lower government spending. Well, you've seen Doge was trying to lower government spending. The amount that they reduced government spending, which caused lots and lots of disruptions, was only a drop in the bucket in terms of percentages, 1% or 2%. And the problem is they lowered taxes by a lot more than that. So that's why the Trump administration is building up debt at some of the fastest rates of anybody.
So at what point does this tip, Dub?
No, that's the hard part. And again, like you say, back when Greece did it, they got a lot of attention because they were the only one like that. Well, now I just scanned Europe and I found out that, Greece is now up to 150%. France is over 100%. The UK is over 100%. A lot of the European countries are also up at. Germany's pretty good. They're still at 70%. And Japan is one of the worst in the world. They're over 200%. Mm. But they're in really big trouble. I don't know what the tipping point is. That's the hard part. I would have told you 10 years ago that if you get up to about 100%, you're at that tipping point. Well, that hasn't tipped yet, but I think we're getting close. That's all I can say.
Wow. Thank you, Dub. Appreciate it. Walter Dub Land, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at LSU New Orleans, my alma mater. We'll talk to Aaron Dusso. We come back, a professor of political science, about the politicians in Washington. Do any of them really care about the debt or not? We'll talk to Eugene Green about what's going on in the city. So a lot coming up. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, WWL.
WWL First News at 7 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Dave Cohen on your official weather station, WWL.
Happy Friday. A hot day, yeah, but we've got some storms in the forecast after topping out at 96 this afternoon. There's a 60% chance of some afternoon and evening thunderstorms. A few storms today could pack a punch with some gusty winds, heavy rain, and frequent lightning.
WWL-TV meteorologist Peyton Malone says before those isolated severe storms arrive, though, we do have an extreme heat warning. The fiscal outlook for the city of New Orleans has not been good, but the state legislative auditor says looks aren't everything. He says the city's actually in a stronger position than people might think, and largely because of the fight with the state. WWL's Chris Miller explains.
When she took office, Mayor Helena Moreno said it may take 7 years to get the city's money problem solved, and she's by no means guaranteed a second term. But state legislative auditor Mike Wackersback says after a few months of working closely with the city, he believes they're in better shape.
I think within her first term, we can make this happen.
And Wackersback hinted there may be more sources of cash flow for the city that the administration has yet to recognize.
There's some other things on the table in the future that I think will bring in either further cash infusions.
However, Wackersback said he is not at liberty to disclose what those other things might be.
The legislative auditor added that because the city has not been able to go to the bond commission for additional loans or under other funding mechanisms because of the fight with the attorney general and the governor, it's forced New Orleans to actually spend more wisely and find additional revenue. No humans were hurt, two cats were rescued, and a third feline remains missing after a three-alarm fire last night on Napoleon Avenue in uptown New Orleans. Firefighters said that it took several hours, but they eventually got the blaze out in a multi-unit complex. No word on the fate of that third cat. Starting next school year, physical education classes in Louisiana